Today's reading is found on page 969 of the Church Bibles. It's Matthew 5, 17 to 30. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment." But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, "Raca," is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell.
It's a very good to be here. Thank you for your invitation. And while I have the opportunity, thank you so much for your financial support of us. We couldn't be there but for generous and kind people who support us in Uganda. I arrived 2 weeks ago in Heathrow, and it was 32 degrees when we left Entebbe, which is Kampala's airport, and when we landed, it was the end of May, 28th, 29th of May. I thought the pilot had got the wrong airport and we'd landed in Greenland or somewhere, because it was 11 degrees. We came off the plane and there was this icy draft that came through into the kind of tunnel you walk down, and I thought, goodness me, it's freezing cold. Anyway, we've had a very warm week, but it's gone cold again. 13 degrees, my car told me it was, as we drove here this morning. So we're looking at Matthew chapter 5, and I thought I would share with you some things that I've thought about and prepared for my students in Uganda recently. You get a flavour of the kind of things I teach. But I'm particularly thinking about verse 17, 18, and 19. Let me just read them again, and I'll emphasise one or two things of chapter 5. My title is "Jesus Fulfills the Law and the Prophets." So Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law, until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now, the history of the church and Christian theology teaches us that these are some of the most difficult verses in the Bible to interpret. What did Jesus mean? But interpret them we must, because we can't afford to ignore them, because they're some of the most important verses in the whole of the Bible. The question that these verses address for us, the question is this: how did Jesus understand the Old Testament? How did he understand the Old Testament? And that's the question I want us to think about this morning. Let me suggest to you that if you get your head around the question of how Jesus understood the Old Testament, then you have a key to understanding the whole of the Bible, the whole of Scripture. So I'm going to try something big this morning, and that's to say, how do we understand the Bible, particularly in relation to how Jesus understood what had gone before in the Old Testament? How significant is that middle page between the Old Testament and the New Testament? I used to have a friend who used to say, we need to get our Bibles and rip out the centre page, not the centre page, but two-thirds along, the break between the Old Testament and the New Testament, because there is no discontinuity between the Old and the New. I'm going to suggest that there is considerable discontinuity between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But before we come to look at our text in a bit of detail, let me say something that, first of all, that has a direct bearing on the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. In Uganda, I teach a worldview course to my students. So we think about our deepest beliefs about the world, and we look at the four major worldviews in the world. We look at theism, the idea that there was a God who made the world. We look at atheism, the idea that there is no God. We look at pantheism, the idea that God is the world, everything is God, and God is everything. Well, God is the world. And the fourth and one that I look at is paganism, which paganism is rampant in Uganda. Many people are paganists with their animistic worldview. There is a fifth one I do as well, which is the worldview of Star Wars, just to kind of demonstrate that Christianity is not the same as Star Wars. In fact, this morning we had a funny incident. We said we're going to a church service this morning, and my little girl Carrie said, is it a Star Wars church service? I think my kids have been watching too much Star Wars, so I'm going to have to teach them my worldview course. But there isn't eternal good and evil that exists forever, and you lean one way or the other. Christianity is not like that. Anyway, that's why I teach you, just to show what Christianity is not in Kampala. But when I teach my worldview course that I teach them, I begin by setting out what I call the biggest questions of all. These are questions that no human being can ignore. Even if we've not thought about them, we answer them by the way that we live and exist and how we do life. These are the biggest questions in the world, and they are answered by all of those worldviews. And these are my top six questions that I present to my students. The first one is, why is there a world at all? Why is there a world here? It's a massive question, the biggest question of all. My second question that I give to them is this: what is a human being? What does it mean to be human? The third one I say to them is, what is wrong with this world? Why is it as it is? And the fourth question is, how can the world be fixed? What is the solution to the world's problems? The fifth one I give to them is, what happens when we die? And the sixth question I give to them is this: how do we measure human success? What is a successful life? What is a failed life? And that, of course, as you can imagine, generates all kinds of discussion, and we look at how the different worldviews that I've mentioned to you answers those questions. Now, when you think about questions like that, those the biggest questions of all, the six I've